Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the radio program designed and dedicated to the liberation of new African people. As every week, we discuss topics that are instrumental to the new African independence movement here, right here in America. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati. And let's do it again. Let's get into it. Today, we like to start out by shining the spotlight on an individual, an organization, or an event that had a significant role in the struggle for independence or liberation for new African people. And today we want to talk about a program that was devastating in the war against African people. And this program is called eugenics. Eugenics or scientific racism. Now, eugenics is a program that is designed to eliminate or purify the genetics to create a master race, basically European people. It's designed to eliminate individuals who have bad genetics or what's called worthless feeders, as Hitler would call them. It's really a genocide program, an extermination program for individuals who are not desired by the ruling elite class of society. This is part of the white supremacist agenda. It was relevant in mainstream back in the early 1900s, but during World War II, when Hitler attempted to eliminate the Jewish population, it became looked at as something that was frowned upon because of the way in which Hitler went about it. It cast a negative light on the eugenics program. But up until that time, it was something that was kind of mainstream throughout European countries, throughout Western worlds, and even here in America. But like I said, during the Hitler's era, the perception of eugenics kind of turned to a negative light. In the eugenics society, the secret organization, the secret society of eugenics, it went underground. But it didn't go away. It didn't disappear. In fact, many of the scientists who worked on the genetic program in Germany, under Nazi Germany, were hired, while many of the so-called Nazis were persecuted and found guilty and punished for crimes against humanity, crimes against the Jewish people. The scientists were not. In fact, they were hired by the United States. In fact, one of Hitler's right-hand person, a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger, came to the United States and started the American Eugenic Society. And she created a program, an organization, which is still very prominent today in the new African communities here all over America. It's something called Planned Parenting, or Planned Parenthood. And they're responsible for more abortions than anybody. You know, that in fact, abortions today are the number one killer of African people. And that's something we don't talk about because this is murder before you're even, you know, born. But I'm going to play a clip about how eugenics is still being carried on today, you know, in this modern day era. And this is about forced sterilization in the prison system. And there are countless number of eugenics. And really what this is genocide. This is genocide of people that the ruling elite, the white supremacist ruling elite, consider to be undesirable, worthless feeders. So this is a clip on modern day eugenics.
Last July, the Center for Investigative Reporting issued a shocking report about doctors sterilizing about 150 female inmates in California's prisons from 2006 to 2010, all without approval to do so. Inmates and prison advocates assert that the women were coerced into being sterilized by the prison medical staff, who were targeting women for tubal ligation, whom they thought were likely to return to prison. And now, almost a year later, the California State Auditor found that the practice was being carried out as late as last year. In its new report, the auditor's office revealed that almost a quarter of sterilization cases did not give consent. Physicians didn't sign consent forms that guarantee the inmates knew they were about to be sterilized. They violated wait period requirements. Inmates were not allowed witnesses of their choosing. Conversations about the sterilization process went undocumented. And none of the procedures were authorized by an oversight committee. All of this flies in the face of the law. And a sizable chunk of the requests for the sterilizations came out of one doctor's office, the office of Dr. James Heinrich. Dr. Heinrich told the Center for Investigative Reporting that the money spent sterilizing inmates was minimal compared to what you save in welfare paying for these unwanted children. In other words, these sterilizations sound pretty targeted, and that's what's not being discussed in this case. But this story goes beyond our prison problems into the land of eugenics. When you've got people being coerced into sterilization by doctors who say they're doing it to save money on welfare, that's eugenics, regulated breeding and population control. We've seen eugenics before. States used to have eugenics boards that sterilized people they deemed not fit for procreation. North Carolina is in the process right now of compensating victims of their eugenics board, which was shuttered in the 1970s. People like to think such social abominations as eugenics are a thing of the past. But now here we see evidence of eugenics today, and yet if you say the word eugenics, people will call you a conspiracy theorist. But when people are actually conspiring to sterilize citizens, there's nothing theoretical about it.
And that was a brief clip about modern day eugenics. Eugenics still alive in a way and well today in America. So on this day, we want to acknowledge one of the genocidal programs. Talk about expose one of the genocidal programs against people of color and really all types of people here in America, but not only in America, globally. And you know, to quote, you know, bring Dr. Francis Quest Welsing into it, you understand. By reading the ISIS paper, we understand that the system of white supremacy, one of the biggest fear is genetic annihilation, because the white genes are recessive. So on a subconscious level, there's always been a fear of extermination of the white race simply through procreation, simply from being interacting with darker people. And the people with the most dominant genes on the planet are African people, black people. So we are the biggest threat, according to Wilson. And that plays right all into this whole concept of eugenics, genetic annihilation, scientific racism. And on this day, we want to expose this horrible problem, this enemy of our people, on today's show. So with that, we want to move along to today's topic, because we understand that this genocidal program of eugenics is devastating to our people. Not only that, but there are several problems that affect our community. Our community has been attacked on several different fronts. So how can we solve that? You know, you hear us talking every week after week about the need for independence, the need for nationhood. So that's what we want to discuss now. Nationhood is a real solution to the problems of our people, because right now we're dealing with a situation where we are powerless. We don't have control over the resources and the systems that govern our very lives. I mean, you know, we can talk about the problems all day. And we know the problems: drugs, crime, poverty, violence, police brutality, mass incarceration, failing schools, all of them. The problems are obvious. The solution and the root cause of the problems are not as obvious, because they are embedded within a system. And things that are of a systemic nature are not always easy to see. But the problems all stem from the relationship that our people have with this system, which is a colonial relationship. And what that means is we are still under the power structure. We are still under the authority of the very same people who have benefited from the exploitation of our people. You look at our communities, the economic system, the political systems, the justice systems, educational systems, social systems, all of the systems that govern our lives are controlled by those individuals who have benefited from our exploitation. And that's when nationhood comes into play. That's why there is a need for nationhood, for self-determination, for establishing an independent, sovereign African, new African nation. Right here. And that's what we want to talk about, the need for nationhood. And I'm joined by my brother Kakaye. Like I say, as always, we're always joined by some of the brightest minds in the new African community. And let me get my brother Kakaye on. Brother Kakaye, are you there?
Yes, my brother. Free land.
I will. So we're talking about the need for nationhood. Independence. What are your thoughts on that, brother?
Well, it's obvious that we have to have a solution as a people. And it's also obvious that we are running amok trying to figure out what the solution is. But mainly, we find out our solutions based on the causes and conditions of the problem. We have to go back to the origin. There is a conspiracy. There is a reason why we are not taught our history, because our history is our experience. It takes us back to the origin of the causes and conditions of our problems today. And when we begin to understand how to put things into a historical context, the only solution, the only outcome, the only way you can arrive to any solution would be to recognize that independent, sovereign nation, with the whole way of having self-determination, is the only solution. Nationhood is the answer. And you so eloquently gave us the history, and you've given us data to share with us to help us understand that nationhood is the solution. I mean, let's face it. You know, these Europeans have had settler sites year after year. They've had Norway and Sweden had to have a plebiscite so that they could become Norway and Sweden. You have, you know, Finland. They had a plebiscite to take over Ireland. We need to understand what are the steps that we need to take in order to become independent officially. We've done what needs to be done. We've declared our independence. We have our constitution. That's been in existence since 1968. And it's the Republic of New Africa. People have to recognize that we are doing these things. Don't shortchange our ancestors and and accept what these Europeans are putting out there, that we are not. We know how to do this. That's why we have people periodically through generations and generations wake us up and let us know we are the original people. We are the ones that created civilization. We have a nation called the Republic of New Africa that was put together March 31st, 1968 in Detroit, Michigan. What we need to do is galvanize around what our ancestors have done. People, we need to be a part of the work that our people have put together to guide us in the right direction. Stop listening to me. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was agreeing with you. And, you know, just to expand on some of the history of it, because a lot of people, this idea of being a nation might be foreign. It might be something that our people look at as something that's too big. But the reality of it is we've already been a nation right here in America. As soon as the first African people were brought to this country and enforced under the system of chattel slavery for forced labor, we became a nation. We became what's called an oppressed nation. Because we were from different land masses, we were from different nations, had different languages, had different traditions, different customs. But we were all united under a common oppression and under a common oppressor. And this, by its very definition, molds us into what's called an oppressed nation. So the nation has always existed, whether we understood it, whether we knew about it or not, whether we even wanted it. We became an oppressed nation, unified by a common oppressor and a common oppression. But, you know, if we can go farther, you know, after the end of chattel slavery, when the Civil War ended, General Sherman sat down with a group of African leaders in the community and said, well, Civil War is about to end. What do you want? You know, and our leaders, our ancestors said, we want land. We understand how to develop land, to survive on the land. This is what we want. Well, he came back and said, well, where do you want this land? Do you want the land to be with everybody else, or do you want it to be separate off to yourself? And our leadership at the time said, with all due respect, we want to be away from you. We do not feel safe. We do not feel secure. We do not feel comfortable being around you. So we want it to be separate. So right there, land actually began to be issued, and they actually began to have territory that was controlled by African people in which white people were not allowed. Now, of course, this didn't last because with all treaties that European white people have with non-white people, they broke it and they took the land back. But if that had stayed as it was, then more than likely that would have evolved into an independent nation right there. You know, that's where we get the whole concept of 40 acres and a mule. That agreement that we had with Special Field Order Number 15 after the Civil War, issued by General Sherman. So, you know, that's one example, a historical example of you know, the potential of nationhood throughout history that, you know, was reneged upon by the system of white supremacy. And, I mean, and as you alluded to, you know, in 1968, our leadership, 500 delegates, members of the Black Nationalist Movement here in America, met in Detroit, Michigan, in secret in what's called a government conference. And they wrote our Declaration of Independence, and declared our independence and created the framework to establishing an independent new African nation right here in America and created the Republic of New Africa. As you said, these things have been done. What we have to do is educate ourselves on them, pick up the ball, and push the agenda forward. That's what's necessary for us. But as we talked about, Brother Kakai, I mean, there is a need for independence. There is a need for nationhood in the sense of right now we have no power. Right now we have no control over the resources and systems that govern our community. And one of the problems that we've been, you know, one of the issues, major issues, and one of the problems that has been existing in our community is we've been struggling for civil rights instead of struggling for human rights. See, civil rights are something that's granted to you. It's given to you by your oppressor, by the same people who benefit from your exploitation, where you're going out and you're saying, give me some rights. The problem with that, if they can give you some rights, they can take it from you. Human rights are rights that you are given to by birth. As a human being, these are rights that you have. And once you begin to struggle for human rights opposed to civil rights, then you step beyond the boundaries of the United States. You can go to the World Court. You can go to the UN. You can get a seat at the UN. But there's a problem, because our people have tried to go to the UN. And what has been said is, especially on the issue of reparations. Reparations can only be given to a nation. And right now, African people in America, we don't identify ourselves as a nation. We call ourselves African American. African American, that's not a nation. These are two different continents. Africa is not a country. Africa is a nation. America is a continent. So, in essence, one of the violations of our human rights is we have been denied a nationality. And because we do not identify ourselves as a nation, we don't have a seat at the table with the UN. So we can't even get into the conversation about nationhood, about power, about really solving the problems of our people. But I don't want to hog the time. You know, I want to get your thoughts, Brother Kakayi. Brother Kakayi, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Free the land, brother. You know, I love the Voice of the New Africa because we have a platform here that we don't just babble out rhetoric. We give you hard facts and history about our people. And you know, don't take what we say as gospel. Look it up. You know, when you said, Brother Yerod, that civil rights is basically giving us privileges that they can take it away as soon as they give it to us. Well, you know, if you need facts about that, just understand that the Civil Rights Amendment is an amendment. It's something added to the Constitution. Anything added to the Constitution does not change the original Constitution, but it allows for these demons to take it away at any time. You can take away an amendment and you can add an amendment, but they don't change their Constitution. They still believe what they believe about us as New Africans, that we are cattle and we are here to be traded on the stock market and used as slaves to help them amass wealth. And so anything that we do to try to improve our conditions, situations, and circumstances are dependent upon them being involved and making the decision to help us do whatever we think is necessary for us to do. And these people have always against helping us become financially free, economically free, and to have our own self-determination. They have a law that they put into the books in 1638 that has become public policy, where you cannot, and that doctrine is called the Merlin Doctrine of Exclusion, where they have already said amongst themselves, never will a black person at that time or a new African today can actually be, if you want to really you really want to put it in layman's terms, a black person, his family, his descendants, and his descendants' descendants, and no other black person could ever become wealthier than white people or enjoy the fruits of the white people's prosperity unless it's in sports entertainment. And we see that as the going thing right now. If you're not an entertainer, if you're not an athlete, they don't even allow you to even have money in their system. And then when they do allow you to have money in their system, their doctrine supersedes that. They're going to come at you as an athlete or an entertainer and take the money back so you don't pass it down to your generations through the IRS, through labor, through propaganda, all of that. We have plenty of athletes and entertainers that made money, supported their system, and perpetuated it, thinking that the system works. And then before they die, there's always something that comes up to take that money back because of the Maryland doctrine of exclusion. You niggas can't have nothing, and you cannot pass it down to any of your descendants. And so we need to recognize that in order for us to control our destiny, control our self-determination, we have to have a nation. Any of our solutions to our problems have always been outside of the box. And they make that box so, have us focus inside of that box so much that we don't even recognize how to even come to a conclusion on what our solution is, because we don't look outside of the box. We have to be a nation, brother. All our brothers and sisters, look this stuff up. Teach us children their history, because the history is our experience. Our experience takes us back to the origins of our problem. The first thing we're supposed to do is maintain that tenacity to keep fighting back. We fought when they pulled us from Africa. We fought in the Middle Passage on the boats. We fought when we got here. It wasn't until the last 75, 100 years they started implementing this nonviolent marching and protesting that we lost most of the grounds that we gained for our independence. We need to understand independence is the solution. Just because they don't show it to you with their propaganda, we have to share it with our own people. Thank you, my brother, for even letting me talk today.
No doubt. You brought up some really good points that I want to talk about. You talk about, you know, how we have to properly educate ourselves. We have to step outside of the European philosophical, ideological box. And if you look at it, you know, we always run into certain communities. And I see my sister, Patricia Lee, which we will be on her show in about 30 minutes, a little more than 30 minutes. So big shout out to Patricia Lee, one of the beacons of our community. But as you stated about the need to educate ourselves properly, to understand our history, and as I was saying, we run into a certain circus. You can call it like conscious people or people with a certain amount of African consciousness or awareness who are progressive, who are outside of the European box, who are trying to do things for the community, for, you know, the city, you know, to uplift our people and change the present condition. We run into these circles and we always have the same problems. It's too few, and it's almost like we're always outnumbered and outgunned. And so the question is, why is that reality? Why does that reality exist? Why is it that the people who are trying to do things that benefit our people in a collective way, in a real way, seems like we never get the support that we need? Why is that? Because you hear Sister Patricia Lee all the time talking, you know, talking to the community about how we need to support the programs that help our people. But the reason why we're always outnumbered, always outgunned, because the people who control the educational system in America are the people who benefit from our collective exploitation. The people who benefit us being dependent upon the system that is founded on white supremacy. So in essence, there is an educational system in America that is producing the very opposition to our movement, of independence, for our movement of liberation. It's being produced by the educational system, and this is part of being neo-colonized. Because when people who benefit from your exploitation control all of the systems that govern your lives, then, you know, you find yourself in a perpetual state of enslavement. And it's a cycle that's very difficult to get out unless you can break that chain of dependency on this system that is not benefiting you. As long as we are connected to this system of white supremacy, as long as we are connected to this system, then it's going to be hard for us to liberate ourselves, to change the present conditions. But I think the thing, and we're just about out of time, but I think the thing that we have to look at is globally, across the world, people are rising up against this system of white supremacy, the system of exploitation of imperialism, colonialism, and capitalism. People are rising up against it. You see signs every day of the collapse of this system. You see an economic collapse right here in America. There are signs every day that this system is falling. Problem. If we, as new African people, black people here in America, are so dependent upon this system that is founded in white supremacy, is so connected to this system that is founded in white supremacy, then if this system falls, guess what? We fall right along with it. That's why it is crucial. It is imperative. We have to break the chains of dependency on this system that does us no good in the first place. And that's where nationhood comes along. Our ancestors have already laid the groundwork. They've already created the blueprint. All we have to do is pick it up, study it, analyze it, update it, and carry it forth and establish something that can be here for us, our children, and our children's children. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. J-Rob Monty. We appreciate everybody for tuning in, joining us every week here at 10 o'clock on the Voices of New Africa. Join us next week as we will be discussing topics that are relevant to the liberation and the independence struggle as we strive for land, independence, nationhood, and the establishment of an economic system benefits the whole, the collective, instead of just the few. Free the land, family.
Free the land. I am, I will.
I am, I will.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence.